Welcome, 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 the 90 Day Money Pro Podcast. You have found it. You're in the right place to learn how to make smarter money decisions in the right order. This episode is starting now. Delaware? That's what literally some people in Delaware were telling me, that that's what people do to make fun of kind of like the name play of their state, is that literally most people don't even think they could point out Delaware on a map. Or it's like when someone draws a map of all 50 states, like Delaware is always the random state that's forgotten about, right? But hey, shout out Joe Biden. He's a Delaware native. We had a great time exploring your state, up in Wilmington and frankly all over, even down to the south of Delaware as well. I had a really good time. Me and Brady are on our second week now, full-time RVing, and the Money Pro Tour is rolling on. We hit up the University of Delaware campus. We're going to chat about that a little bit on this episode. And I'm going to tell you about a special dinner I had. Actually, a friend of my mother's from her ballroom dancing community. Yes, that's right. My mom loves ballroom dancing and has been doing it for, over a decade now. Shout out moms. She's awesome. My hero. But yeah, I had a great little sit down dinner with a friend of hers, who, is in her 50s. We had dinner together, and she was just telling me more about her outlook on money, what happened with her parents, retirement. And this is a story you're going to want to hear more about. So, stay tuned. You're going to like this episode. No one should be an amateur with their money. Instead, learn to be a money pro. All right, so in the University of Delaware, shout out, I think it's the Blue Hens, the Fighting Blue Hens. They're a beautiful campus, and folks go there from a lot of different local states. And as I was chatting with some of the different students when Brady and I pulled up on their campus with our 32-foot Money Pro Tour RV, and our money jacket and money collar on Brady and everything, right? We were sticking out like a sore thumb as we were walking around campus, and had a great time chatting with folks. And I think some of the cool conversations that we had, let's see, as we think back on a couple of them. One stood out in particular. This young girl definitely vented just about the sheer cost that she's going to be, bearing on her shoulders. She told us that she's probably going to be graduating with over $75,000 of student loan debt. She's stressed out by it because she has no idea what that is going to mean for a monthly payment for her down the road. And that's something that I think we've really got to emphasize. If you're a student now, or if you're going to be taking out college loans, or if you're graduating soon, there are calculators online where you can actually forecast what a potential payment could look like. You type in your balance that you have, you type in a potential interest rate that you think you're going to have, and then you're able to see, based off of a 10-year or a 20-year repayment plan, what are the minimum monthly payments that you've got to be expecting and be aware of. And I think that's something that you could tell with this girl. The fact that she didn't know that information was causing stress in her life. She didn't know if she was going to be paying $200 a month when she graduated, or $1,000 a month, or $2,000 a month. Like, she was freaked out. And so that's super important for everyone, I think, out there with student loans, to be able to understand that's really a key factor. What is the stress on your cash flow that the student loan is going to be causing for you? And what we recommend, what I recommend to be a money pro, is realizing, hey guys, student loan debt on the spectrum of interest rates is not as toxic as credit card debt. It's nowhere near as toxic as credit card debt. So when you have student loans that are charging you, let's say, around 5 or 6%, compared to a credit card that might be charging 25%, you gotta realize that having 10 grand in credit card debt could be even more toxic to you than having 75,000 in student loan debt. Seriously. Not just because of the interest that's accumulating, but because of what kind of monthly payment you might have to have. What's important to remember is that you want to keep your minimum monthly payment low. That usually means going on to a 20-year repayment plan. Now, you might be thinking, hold on, Dimitri, I don't want to repay my loans in 20 years. Well, guys, just because you have a 20-year repayment plan, does that mean you have to wait 20 years to pay off your student loans? No! If you want to pay them off in year 10 or year 5, can you? Yes! There's no prepayment penalty. You're absolutely able to do that. But what the term of the loan determines, whether it's a 10-year or a 20-year, is, for example, when you graduate, do you have a minimum payment of $250 a month or a minimum payment of $500 a month? Which one would you rather have? Yeah, you'd want $250, the lower one. Yo, remember, if you still wanted to pay $500, could you? Yeah. If you just wanted to pay $300, could you? Yeah. If you wanted to take the difference and invest it and save it, could you do that? Yeah. See, the whole point here is that you've got to understand that you're in control of your cash flow. So student loans, credit cards, any kind of loans, any kind of debt payments that you have, you got to see how that's affecting your cash flow. What were some other really cool conversations we had on campus? Look, one was really cool with a gentleman. He told us that he was literally chatting with a peer of his when they were finishing high school. And they were saying, man, like, I got accepted to this college, but it's really expensive. And I've got a safety school of mine that's a lot cheaper. And he's like, what do I do? Like, what's the right move? Man, how many folks out there in America right now are struggling with this? Every single spring, as college acceptance letters get sent home and people are opening up and they see that they're getting accepted to places, how many of them are like, man, do I want to go to that awesome school that's going to cost me $40,000 a year? Or like, hey, I've got this other option for like $12,000 a year. What should I do, right? What's going to be the best path forward? And I think ultimately the real truth is there's not one decision that's the right thing to do here. But what I can tell you is that it's definitely worth evaluating one thing in particular. Look, in my career, I've seen plenty of folks that start out their college academic careers at a local safety school or community college to get those darn prerequisites out of the way. Like the first year or two of college is really probably just like high school anyway. You're taking like U.S. history and creative writing and like psychology. All right, these are some of the basic classes here that I think that if you could save money in your first 2 years, and then perhaps as you're getting more into your specific major, looking at transferring and seeing how many of your credits transfer and planning ahead on that stuff. What a great way to potentially cut your college bill in half or save 30% or 40% off of the total amount that you're going to be paying for college. I don't think enough people are looking at that as a really viable option. Also, we're hearing things in the media now about these politicians who are running for president who are potentially completely forgiving student loans in full. So does that mean we should be in a rush to pay them off? No. Pay them slowly. Maybe the presidential candidate in 2020 or 2024 is going to pay off the rest of your student loans anyway with a forgiveness plan. I'm not saying that you should not pay your student loans, but my point is maybe rushing to pay off that total balance in your early 20s when instead you should probably be emphasizing a few other things like saving really aggressively and building up the balances in your savings accounts, investment accounts, retirement accounts, and understanding about insurance, auto, renters, umbrella, health insurance, disability insurance. What if you get sick or hurt and you can't work? Life insurance. See, both disability and life coverage offer fixed premiums for life. And you qualify for them with your age and your health. No better time to do that than when you're in your early 20s, starting out your career. So emphasizing the fact that on campus, in schools, the conversations that we've had with folks just prove time and time again, they're buying into media stress. There's a lack of proper education. And not enough folks are really understanding the options that are available to them. All right, let's transition in the podcast now and talk a little bit more about this really cool dinner that I had at, we're going to call her Elena. We're going to give her request full respect and not share her real name. But we will tell you she is in her late 50s. She's a single female who has kids, who has an awesome positive outlook on life. But share with me something really powerful that I really want to, you know, bring to this podcast, which is a conversation she talked about her father, who was famous as a businessman and as someone who put money away religiously. I mean, a great saver, a great investor. Some of you listening right now might have a parent or a family member who fits that mold, someone who's really kicking butt at saving and putting aside money. Well, she shared with me that his health after he retired took a turn for the worst within 12 months. And he passed away within his first 2 years being quote unquote retired. And that's really sad. But that's not it. That's not all. His financial fortune, more or less, was then based off of a will given to his wife, who's a few years younger. And while she was obviously hysterical, tragic over the loss of her husband, look, she was in a financial position where she had inherited some wealth, and now her finances, her retirement was more or less solidified. She enjoyed traveling, Elena told me. She said, my mom, for years, was on cruises for probably 4 or 5 years, cruises all over the world and flying and everything, until her health also took a turn for the worst. However, Elena told me, her mom didn't pass away the way her dad did, meaning she got sick and stayed sick for a while, for years, and needed help caring for herself. And to pay for that care, known as long-term care, paying out of pocket for months and months, turning into years and years, that fortune that Elena's father worked so hard to set aside to help the family with generational wealth was very quickly pretty much depleted in paying for home health care for Elena's mom. Elena's parents have since both passed. And now as she's approaching retirement age herself, she shared a really interesting outlook with me. She said, Dimitri, I enjoy spending money. I'm not going to feel shame or guilt when I look at how much plane tickets cost or how much that ballroom gown cost. I'm not going to feel guilty because I love filling my life with travels and dancing and having fun. And I don't want to delay my life satisfaction for some eventual tomorrow that may never come. And wow, I mean that, let's just say I wasn't eating while I was listening. My mouth was open, you know, my jaw was dropped. I was listening very intently to her really emotional story that she was telling me, seeing her parents both working hard their entire lives, doing everything right, and yet still the fourth quarter of their games kind of sucked. And I think the name of the game has really got to be about balance. That there has to be a way to have a balanced approach to both enjoy your todays, right? To enjoy every single day you're alive right now. Fill your life with the things that bring joy, that make you happy and make you feel alive. While at the same time, we cannot ignore the future. We can't not save, right? We can't assume we're going to die when we're 65. We can't assume anything. So let's have our cake and eat it too. That's what it means to be a money pro. It means having that balance between not just eating ramen noodles and hot dogs every single day and skipping meals to save money, starving yourself, depriving yourself. No, that's not going to bring you joy for some eventual day when you can, quote unquote, retire and enjoy life then. No, that doesn't work, guys. Come on. I'm sorry. It just doesn't work. You've got to be able to enjoy your life every single day, not feeling choked and not feeling restricted, while at the same time, you have to have a plan for the future. We can't ignore the fact that people are living longer than ever. We can't ignore the fact that you've got a plan ahead. But you can have your cake and eat it too. Finding that balance between being able to enjoy spending while still saving and investing properly is absolutely possible. I've been teaching that to folks forever. Here's a great rule of thumb. If you're under the age of 40 and you're working full time, if you're setting aside 20% of everything that you're making, oh man, you're on track. You're moving in the right direction so that in your 60s, you'll be able to stop working. You can put aside 20 cents from every dollar you make, use the rest to pay your bills and have fun and go spending. Now, if you want to be like these FIRE bloggers, these folks who are in the financial independence, retire early, I'm motivated to save more so that I can retire sooner. Okay, but how extreme is too extreme? Is saving 30% out of the question for you? 35? Maybe not. But is saving 50% or more of your gross income and depriving the ability to just spend money, to enjoy yourself now responsibly, but instead to be so extremely frugal that you're stressing yourself out, that you're causing anxiety, that you're sacrificing things that you shouldn't be sacrificing, like the quality of your food, right? You shouldn't be going to eat double cheeseburgers from McDonald's every night because it only costs a dollar. That is sacrificing your health to try to earn more wealth. Doesn't work. Does not work. Instead, let's work on finding that balance. Figure out what your gross savings rate is. How much am I making? How much of that am I able to set aside? While I can still pay all my bills and have enough left over to live some semblance of a reasonable lifestyle that I can be proud of. That's what it's all about, y'all. So whether we're chatting at campuses in Delaware or having a one-on-one dinner with a baby boomer, we still realize that the common themes of understanding your options, thinking through your choices, making smarter decisions, those are common threads that are in both stories. And man, I'm pumped. So here we are. This is the second week now of our Money Pro Tour. We're heading into Maryland and Baltimore next week. We got a presentation at Year Up. You've heard me talk about them at in other episodes. But again, check them out at yearup.org, yearup.org. We'll be presenting at their Baltimore site next week. And yeah, we're excited. We've got Maryland followed by Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Hotlanta. Get ready, y'all. Money Pro Tour is rolling on. Make sure you check out the Linktree link in the comments on this podcast. Give me a thumbs up. Give me 5 stars. Let me know some comments on how you're feeling about this fact that I'm traveling all around the country teaching about personal finances and having these conversations in every single state that we go to. 25 states in 25 weeks. #MoneyProTour. Keep in touch. Stay awesome.